Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the 20th of October. We're plowing through, head to the election.
I know. 2 weeks from tonight. No, 2 weeks from tonight or next week? Wait, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight.
Well, it's not next week.
No. Are we going to do a show that night? We have to think
why
about
not?
That. I don't know why. It would be pretty exciting. Somehow we'll try to figure out how to have a live ticker of what's going on from.
No, they can. It's too early. They don't start getting to that till way after the show's over.
It's 9 o'clock at night. Some states close, East Coast closes.
Okay.
We'll see. Well, we have a few things going on here. We have the 48-hour notice given by the clamp down, the pound down, which means nothing, by Pelosi. And, of course, we mentioned 2 weeks from today we have an election, and the question is whether or not we're going to have a quick winner. Final presidential debate this Thursday night with some new rules. Earnings, tech is on the way. We have a little oops, don't we, from Jeffrey Toobin. Little Zoom reveal.
That was a classic. What I get a kick out of, and you might as well explain to people what if they didn't know about this, which seems it's possible, what happened, and I'll tell you the funny part.
Go
besides
ahead.
The event itself.
Go ahead. Take it.
Well, I mean, we Toobin went on a Zoom call and apparently decided to jack off on the camera.
Jack off? I only heard he showed his pee-pee.
Well, he says he was masturbating.
He said that?
Well, somebody did. He admitted to doing it. He just says he didn't know the camera was on.
So he's in a meeting. Let's just kind of set the stage here and understand this.
You're going to take it exactly where I was going.
So he's in a Zoom meeting, and he says, you know what? I'm going to turn my camera off here, maybe my microphone too. And while I'm sitting around, this kind of thing arouses me, and I am going to...
These meetings, I get rock hard when I get on these meetings. What am I supposed to do?
And then he goes ahead.
Disgusting, by the way.
And somehow does this. Now, a couple of things. First of all, in a Zoom meeting, usually people are chest up. So either he has a really big schlong, okay, that somehow it was able to be spotted.
That's something I do not imagine.
Okay, or he somehow decided to stand up, I suppose.
Who knows? I mean, the guy's... I never liked this guy.
Well, he had a vendetta. I mean, he was called... And he was like the... You know, you want to bring somebody in just to break down Trump? Call Toobin. Or any Republican, for that matter. So somehow he did some kind of a reveal, and now he's off and on personal leave, apologizing to his family, apologizing to his wife. And nobody recorded this, by the way? This meeting wasn't recorded?
Well, there's a couple of fake recordings out there.
Oh, gosh.
So you can kind of get a big laugh out of it. But
I want to see the animated No Agenda of that. That would be good.
Oh, Animated No Agenda maybe should do this. But even though it's gross. He didn't deny it.
I don't even know. This is so bizarre that this would even happen. It just in so many ways that you know when your camera's on. I don't even understand the whole thing. And during this weird meeting and just the whole thing is just whether he was masturbating or not or somehow just took off his pants to tuck in his shirt even that. And why would you drop your pants in your underwear? I don't know, but somehow. The whole thing is grotesque.
It's totally grotesque. That guy's grotesque. If anybody puts him back on the air, I'd be stunned.
No, he's done. He's done. He's cooked.
I hope so.
Yeah. He's shot his load, so to speak. He's done.
Oh.
Anyway, talking about some other things here. We're going to talk about election odds and some things about the markets. Well, markets are definitely bracing for a no stimulus agreement. Which is like the notes Brexit agreement. I don't know what's going to take longer at this point to get back to something with Brexit, which seems to be going off the rails again.
Brexit's a joke.
Yep. And then, you know, the stimulus, which was supposed to be closed, and then we got one party saying
it's open. It's closed. It's open. It's closed.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
We went more. We went less. We went more.
Yeah, you know, there was a Washington Post article tonight about saying how the Republicans, and in particular, this in the Senate, wanted to said, you know, don't do this. You know, we don't want to have, McConnell said, you know, don't do any stimulus bill after the election, which I don't know what the point of that is either. The whole thing is just very stinks to high hell. We have some tax hikes that are supposed to be under Biden. There was a recent discussion about that, about what would you be paying if you were in this state or that state and your income was this or that. It's pretty shocking numbers, actually.
High?
Yeah. I think California is like 60% total on. If you make over 400,000, New York, Connecticut, Jersey, you know, all those states, which
the thing is, it's progressive. So even if you make less than 400,000, you're getting jacked.
Yeah. Cause you know, you go from 36% to 39.5 or 39.6, which I don't know where they came up with that number. And then, you have on top of that, the increase in the Social Security, the FICA payments on your side. Then you have on top of that, you have the various state, city, local, blah, 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 blah.
And it's like, yeah, 60%. State income tax is like 13%.
Yeah.
Then the gas taxes, all the other little idiotic little taxes. Like, you know, we're still paying $4 for a gallon of gasoline here.
Yeah.
And because of taxes, it's all taxes.
And it's going to hurt the blue states, which makes no sense. Right? It's going to hurt California, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Aren't those all blue states?
Yeah.
No sense in this. So I don't think, honestly, that if Biden is elected, that he's going to implement these tax hikes right away. That would just be so stupid.
Well, I don't know if he can pull it off. But, you know, the blue states get screwed no matter what happens. I mean, they think they're high and mighty because they got so many people. But they get screwed. The blue states get screwed by the Democrats when they're in office because, hey, who else are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for the Democrats. So why should we even care? And then they get screwed by the Republicans when they're in office because why are we helping these blue state assholes? They're not helping us ever. So it's like the blue states are just screwing themselves by being so one-sided about everything.
Have you been reading about the exodus, the mass exodus?
Yeah.
From California to Texas and all?
Tell that to the property values around here.
Well, I mean, somebody must be moving back in. I don't know who it is. And
some, it's because there's a housing shortage. Yeah. It's not even a matter of moving back in. It's just the slack. They can't pick up the slack.
Yeah. I sent you a piece on that today about the housing inventories. Did you see that?
I missed it.
I think you're on my distribution list. I think you should be. Anyway, we're at pretty much a multi-decade low of inventories on new homes. So yeah. Interest rates at 2.25%, 2.5%. Deurbanization happening. And then on top of that, you know, everybody's just want, you know, has all this money and flush of liquidity. Everybody's buying houses and the builders just can't keep up with it.
No. In fact, you try to get somebody to do something for you is a waiting list.
Ridiculous.
You know, remodeling, forget it, can't be done.
Yep. Inflation is here. We see the PPI is hot, CPI is not. All right. So the market is basically watching three things, three E's. The triple E's, economics, the elections, and earnings. I do think no matter what happens after the election, there's going to be just a breath of, oh, God, thank God it's over. And there's going to be a relief.
I think there's elements of that, yes.
Yeah. So we have that. Economics, we'll see over this week. Some few things coming out, nothing major this week. But, you know, what's happening, we are seeing that's a little bit of a stalling in some areas. Some areas are a bit better. Housing very strong, for example. Manufacturing holding up okay. Inflation starting to come in a tad bit. The unemployment situation, last week we saw 890,000 new initial claims, first-time initial claims, which is up from where it was. So there's a lot of, you know, back to this K recovery, where we see certain things that are doing really well, but yet the masses are still out of work. I mean, even if it's only an, quote-unquote, only around an 8% unemployment rate, even if it's 7.5, whatever it is, it's still high, still very high. And a lot of people aren't being counted because they're out of the workforce now because they're on the, you know, the COVID claims and all that, and they're taking them out. So the numbers are a little bit squishy on that. So, and then we have earnings. We saw that Netflix came out with earnings tonight, beat the numbers, but we're soft in terms of new ads and new subscribers in Europe or outside the U.S. Very hot in in Asia, actually. Most of the new additions came from Asia. But a little bit disappointing. Snap came out with earnings a lot better than expected. Stock was up 23% after hours on Snap. I think it's close to an all-time high, if not there, or very close. Netflix was down about 6%. IBM came out with earnings exactly met both top and bottom lines, but had another quarter of declining revenue. I think after the last,
never ends.
Yeah, the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, they've had like two quarters of increasing revenue. And this is with their new Red Hat acquisition, which is amazing to me. So
they're just poorly managed at this point in history.
And the good news is you have the short for it on the game.
So, yeah, I'm still up there with the short.
Yep. Any thoughts on, did you watch the town halls or try to watch the town hall?
A little bit. I watched a little bit. I didn't find it, but I thought the town hall with Trump was pretty mediocre because it wasn't a town hall as much as it was Savannah Guthrie arguing with Trump.
It was an attack job is what it was.
Yeah, it was very unfair.
I mean, it was. So this is how I saw it. I saw Trump, who was halfway standing, halfway sitting. Did you see on like a bar stool, right?
Yeah, it's a bar stool.
Kind of like up and down. It seems like he lost some weight, by the way. Did you notice that?
No.
So Savannah was basically starting off sitting in a chair, but leaning forward with all sorts of questions. Did you say this? Are you in agreement? And, you know, that kind of stuff. Kind of like a...
Yeah, are you in agreement?
It was did you or did you not say this? It reminded me of one of those legal dramas with someone on the witness stand. That's what was happening on the Trump.
Like a Perry Mason.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then you flip over to Biden, and it was like, oh, Joe, tell me what you're going to do. You know? It was these softball questions with this really, it was like, one was, hey, how can we help? I don't know if you said this or I heard this somewhere. Maybe it was no agenda. How can we help you get elected on the Biden town hall? And the Trump was, how can we get you not to be elected?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and then they were both at the same time, which I don't even know the wisdom of that.
Well, you know, everyone bitches and moans about it, but it wasn't the same time out here. They put the Trump one on tape delay and they ran it at 8 o'clock.
Oh, see, that was smart.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm sitting there clicking the last button, back and forth, trying to get rid of the commercials and, you know, record some of it, but I got tired of both of them pretty quickly. There was no substance, I thought, in the Trump one because of the attack job. And the substance that would have been on the Biden one was, you know, basic. So here we are, 2 weeks out. Not who you want, but who you think from all the things that you see right now. What are we going to wager? And what are the odds who's going to win at this point?
Well, I'm kind of buying into the idea that Trump's going to win and these polls are all wrong because no Republicans will speak up and admit that they're going to vote for Trump because they're afraid of getting a brick through the window because of all the violence, which is kind of a Scott Adams theory. And I kind of subscribe to it because I get called a lot for polls. Everyone says, oh, I never get called. I get called all the time. I've been called 3 times this, which is a lesser amount.
And you answer it honestly?
Oh, yeah. Well, not this last time. I felt the same way. I felt I'm not going to answer these. I'm not going to say anything positive about Trump because I don't know what who these people really are. And so I just passed it on. I just, you know, I don't have time for this.
I tell them right away, if somebody calls me with a survey, I say that will be fine. We do these. They're $250 per survey.
Yeah, good luck.
Give me my bank account number. We could pay you $10. I don't know if the election was.
I take the 10. But I wasn't going for it this year because I just don't trust them. So I think that the whole thing is it's up in the air. And I've been trying to get – I always place bets on these elections. I'm pretty good about winning money. But I can't get anyone to take my bet.
That Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Oh, you want to take that bet?
I'll take the other side. I'm always good for the other side of something.
Okay. Let's get one bet
in. I got to make sure – are there any – do I have any margin?
No?
Nothing. Just a straight up.
Yeah, there's one. No, there's one proviso. If either candidate dies before the election or quits.
There is a.
Then the bet's off.
Bet's off. What about if Biden gets coronavirus before that?
I don't care.
He has to be still. He's still alive. Even if he's on a ventilator.
As long as he's alive.
It has to be alive. Brain activity. No matter. Okay, we got that clear. So I'm taking Biden. And what's the prize?
It's $100 bet.
$100 bet. Price. $100 bet. We heard it here. $100 bet. I'm in. Shaking hands, fist pumping, because we don't shake hands anymore. Fist pumping, right? Or elbow jabbing. All right, let's talk about Chris Christie. This I thought was kind of interesting because it just told me how stupid this guy is. So he gets the coronavirus, he gets the COVID, right? He goes into the hospital a couple of days after. And he supposedly, we find out, he's in 7 days in intensive care. And he comes out. And he says, the virus is something to be taken very seriously. Now, meanwhile, a couple of weeks back, this guy is just sauntering around the grounds of the Rose Garden as they're having that Amy Comey Barrett announcement thing. And you see him in the video. He's just shaking hands. He's doing his thing. Nobody's wearing masks. So, you know, we're a few people that he's talking to. He wasn't. He says, I believe that when I entered the White House grounds that I entered a safe zone due to the testing that I and many others underwent that every day. I was wrong. I was wrong not to wear a mask to it. And I was wrong not to wear a mask at my multiple debate prep sessions with the president and the rest of the team. So now all of a sudden he's a convert.
Yeah.
And you know, he got it. So you know what?
Shut up.
It's ridiculous. But the problem is that, you know, I it's not even like I say, oh, hey, finally he figured this out. It's not. It's just that, you know, you just can't trust people like this.
Next. They have judgment issues.
Now, we had this whole possibility that the COVID spread in the White House and through the Republicans was a Democratic liberal plot to make President Trump look bad. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So now they're covering their tracks because somebody gave it to some of the Democrats that were flying with Kamala Harris. The communication director tested positive, and she flew with her on a plane. But supposedly they had a mask on the whole time in the plane, and, you know, they had social distancing and washed their hands. Of course, they had to put that out there.
Yeah, well, good.
Yeah. You spent a lot of time on this whole COVID thing on this Sunday's No Agenda show. And I like how you guys pick the things that you want to talk about to build up your side. Like this whole Netherlands story that I went through this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, look, the Netherlands, there's doctors that said it's not real. And they're suing, like 7,000 doctors and nurses are suing the country.
Well, there's a number of weird lawsuits like that floating around. That's not the only one of them.
Because there's a lockdown now in the Netherlands, I think, right?
I don't know. That's it. Adam covered anything Netherlands. That's
yep.
Adam.
Yep. Anyway, let's get off of the subject. No honor among thieves, I'm calling this. Seems that Houston technology executive Robert Brockman, you know who that is?
No.
He's a big mucky muck, a billionaire, it seems. He's been charged in the biggest tax evasion case in U.S. history after, this is the interesting thing, his fellow friend, or former friend maybe, billionaire Robert Smith turned against him to avoid prosecution. So Brockman, who was the chief executive of Ohio-based Reynolds & Reynolds, hid $2 billion of income from the internet, from the Internal Revenue Service, over the last 2 decades, 20 years, $2 billion worth of income.
What?
Yeah. It's like $100 million per year that I didn't make.
Why, he couldn't afford to pay taxes because he needs all that money?
I guess. He used a web of offshore companies in Bermuda and St. Kitts and Nevis, according to the indictment. He faces seven counts of tax evasion, 6 counts of failing to file reports disclosing foreign bank accounts and numerous other counts, including wire fraud, money laundering, and evidence tampering. Listen, the thing is that what's important to understand that as a U.S. citizen, you are bound and required to pay tax on income made anywhere throughout the world. Right.
Right.
And simply by putting money into an account in, let's say, in Nevis or anywhere else, maybe a Swiss bank account, people think you can hide money there. No.
No, it's almost illegal all around the world to hide money because these bankers are all in with the Americans and they've decided they can't put up with or meddling. And so you can't really hide money anymore. And so people who try to do it are just fools.
Yeah. So he did this. But what's
now,
funny.
I would just say something to people out there who want to move, you know, say you open up a Cayman Island bank account. The reason you don't write, you have to declare all that money. The only reason that you would open a Cayman Island bank account, if you're in this sort of position, is so your wife can't get hold of the money.
Well, that's one thing, but it's also creditor protection. Yeah.
Yeah, and creditor protection. That's so amazing. Say your company goes bust and they try to go after your money, and you get your money on offshore, they can't go over there and grab
right.
it.
Usually like what you do is you put together a bunch of limited liability companies and you put them in different places that funnel and feed into the different ones. So trying to track it down, then how come you can't get to it? Well, because then you got to get through the limited liability companies. You got to get through the
it's
various.
Impossible.
Yeah, then you got to get through the rules of these various places. It's kind of like people.
That's a lot different than hiding your money from the IRS.
Right. Totally different. So it's like somebody asked me the other day that's like, listen, I'm hiring a web developer in India. Do you think I should have him sign a contract? I'm like, why? If you have him sign a contract and they do something bad, what are you going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it. If it makes you feel better that somehow they have this. You're going to go to India, into a court in India, and try to sue them? That's not happening.
Well, if the guy ever tries to come over here, he could sue him when he right. hits yeah. the shores.
But the thing is that his friend turned on him is the interesting part of this story, this Robert Brockman, Robert Smith.
Stop the story again.
Yeah.
Why is the friend part of this scam?
Because the friend was doing the same thing himself, and he said—
Oh, and they were doing it together and in trading tips?
I suppose. They were somehow in bed with each other, doing some of this together. And one guy said, screw this, man. I'm going to tell on the other guy so I can get a reduced sentence. Squealer. Pathetic.
That's not a good idea. And when you have that much money.
Yeah. What? How much more do you need?
So you got $2 billion and maybe you owe the government. From that, you probably owe the government $1 billion. So you're stuck with $1 billion. Give me a break.
Yeah. Nobody's feeling sorry for him.
So anyway,
we do have talking about the debate for Thursday night. We have new debate rules. One of the things that happened yesterday was that the Republican debate team requested the debate organization, the what do they call them? The
yeah, it's a big
debate organization to change the rule, to change the topics. Trump wants to talk about foreign policy. So now, first of all, how does he know there's not foreign policy in the topics already? Aren't those supposed to be sealed and questions not available for either of the parties?
Well, that doesn't mean even if they're in there, he still wants to talk about it. I don't know. I don't know why he wants to talk about foreign policy, but he does.
Yeah. So that's first of all. But I don't think that went over.
I think
well.
It's so he can lead the witness into talking about Hunter Biden in Ukraine. That's foreign policy.
Oh, you see? That's China. What I got you for. See? You got that. The Hunter Biden scam. That's going to be in the discussion, I'm sure. But now we're going to have new rules that both sides have agreed upon, which is that mics will be muted for exclusive segments of the debate, where that 2-minute section where you get to say, okay, now President Trump.
Yeah, we can't say it wrong.
Wrong. No. False. Open mics will remain on the remainder of this. I don't think this is going to help.
It's going to be a fiasco.
But it's going to be fun to watch, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it'd be great if Biden kind of passed out. I think that would be fantastic. But short of that, I'm not that jacked up.
And they both agreed, of course, to go for COVID testing. As a matter of fact, President Trump was pushing for this, that they should have COVID testing before the event, which I'm not sure – how that
well, I
works.
Thought he wanted to have Joe take a drug test because he figures Joe's all hopped up on eight balls and speed. Keep him up there.
Can you imagine that? There was actually somebody that said that there was a video saying that, look, we see that Trump is crushing his Adderall and snorting it. Because, look, once again, something flew out of his nose. They did a slow motion of him speaking and like a white thing. Now, I think it was some spit that came up from his lip, what I was watching. But, you know, they're trying to say that he's snorting Adderall. Anyway, Trump, Twitter. This is about Trump and all that, too. But Twitter did something interesting. You know, Twitter had a big outage last week.
Yeah, a long one.
Yeah, really long. It was just really a disaster. Now, what's really interesting about this is that there was some kind of like error on there. The mobile site was down, all that. But what was interesting was that just before that, very recently in the short period of time before this outage, Twitter pulled a smoking gun tweet. You know, that there was smoking gun and there was some hacked documents that were put on there about the Hunter Biden laptop and emails. And they pulled it down. And just after that is when Twitter went down. Do we see any kind of relationship here?
I never thought about it, but it's possible.
Little flick of a switch to turn the Twitter off on the U.S.?
Just to teach this Hunter Biden thing is pretty funny because... And I think the only thing you can say about it is why, if it's none of it's true, why doesn't either one of the Bidens come out and say it's bull crap? They neither one will do that. And even the campaign manager refused to do that.
I thought Biden said, no, it's not true. It's not the last time. No, it's not. Oh, maybe that was about his military service.
That was about everything else.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if it is true, I have a bigger problem about not what happened, but what an idiot these people are for leaving that kind of information on a laptop.
Yeah, and then taking it in, not knowing that when somebody brings in a big laptop for an overhaul, they back up everything. And I'd say they'd probably keep it.
Who in high level politics goes to the geek squad over at Best Buy and leaves their laptop? You don't think you have a tech team? I mean, I don't understand what's happening here. I really don't. Something's just weird about this whole thing.
There's an element of weirdness. I agree.
I mean, I don't even think – I don't have anything on my laptops and all that. And anytime I do bring – like I brought my laptop to Apple, I'm stand over them the whole time. Maybe I'm crazy. I did the same thing when I painted my 1970 Camaro, which I got in 1983, by the way, from my grandmother. She gave me my first car. It was a burnt orange color. Fixed it up all winter. Then I brought it over to Earl Scheib, and I got that $79 paint job.
Yeah.
But back then, $79 was $79, if you know what I'm saying. I stood over them all day. I'm like, did you tape that right?
What were you hoping to accomplish?
I was just making sure that everything was taped up right. I wasn't, you know, making sure that everything was painted. There was no streaks. There was no drips. I do the same thing.
Those guys do a pretty, surprisingly for the price, they do a really dynamite job of painting.
So the point is, though, that I wouldn't let them get into my glove compartment, find a loose piece of paper on the car. Same thing with my computer. I don't leave my computer anywhere.
No, I don't either.
It's all locked down, man.
I can fix my own computer if it has problems.
And if I do, by the way, if I do get rid of a computer, I take drills and I drill out the hard drives and I smash the crap out of them with a sledgehammer. Seriously.
I just take the hard drives out and repurpose them.
Yeah, you could do that too. But some of the older hard drives aren't that fast. And why not get, instead of getting the spinning, you know, the old, whatever they call it, floppy-based hard drives, you get the SD cards, whatever you call those, you know?
Yeah, right on top of it.
Yeah. brokerage account hacks. Hackers have turned to the dark web. Have you ever somehow got onto this supposed dark web? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's easy.
It's easy. What do you do? You got to open up a terminal or something?
No. You got to get a dark web browser. And there's a couple of them out there. And Tor, I think, has one of them.
Yeah, Tor. I know that name.
And you just go and you can, and then you find some, there's like a couple of sites you have to hit by knowing their IP addresses. And then once you get there, there's some, you can float around. It's not that hard. I mean, to get to exactly what you're looking for might be difficult, but just to float around the dark web, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, hackers have turned to this dark web where logins for accounts at major brokerage houses are listed for sale.
Yeah, apparently a lot of stuff on the dark web is for sale. You can get credit card numbers, passwords. There's a lot of stuff that would technically be illegal, social security numbers.
And why is this allowed to be out there?
It's almost impossible to track. If you take, for example, and say you're one of these sale sites, so some site selling this stuff, and you use a VPN hooked to another VPN, hooked to a third VPN, and then use a proxy somewhere in there. So you're just kind of covered up completely. There's no way you can be traced. And none of these VPN services do logging, or so they say. And I'm sure there's a few that do, and they say they don't. You can just go do it, and then it's all done with a Bitcoin transaction, which is pretty much untraceable. So you're in business. I think it's probably easy to do.
Hmm.
If you're careful and you know how to do it right. If you get caught, you're really screwed, though. I mean, major screwed. You're in jail.
Hmm. Amazing. But now this data from Ameritrade, TD Ameritrade, Robinhood, and other accounts, Schwab, E-Trade, seems to be on there. Now, with that, I thought I would just give you a quick public service announcement that if you do have brokerage accounts or bank accounts, for that matter, if it's possible to do, you should probably use multi-factor authentication, or at least two-factor authentication. Nothing like just simply using just a phone, I guess, with a text message with a code, right?
Yeah, that's the basic way. Probably the better way to do it.
Yeah. We have a follow-up on the PPP program. This is really awful. So this is the couple different things here. First of all, the Treasury Department seemingly privately encouraged banks to prioritize existing clients when implementing the federal government's Paycheck Protection Program. And this was a report from the House Oversight Panel. They said, as a result, small businesses that were truly in need of financial support during the economic crisis often faced longer waits and more obstacles to receiving the PPP. Including rather than the larger, wealthier companies. And one of the things they found was that this really hurt some of the smaller businesses and as well as the minority businesses in particular. And this is a real problem here because we know this happened. It was very clear when this first opened and people from like J.P. Morgan went to J.P. Morgan or Bank of America to get a PPP loan. If they didn't have an account or an existing loan outstanding, they were told they just couldn't do it for them. So you have a business that doesn't have a relationship with a bank in a debt situation with some kind of loan outstanding, whether it's a working capital loan or maybe some other kind of, I don't know, some other mortgage maybe on a building. You couldn't actually go there and get anything done. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Huh.
So this is a real problem. Now, we have a next round possibly coming, and you got to wonder, how are they going to protect the money and provide to the people that are in need? Because we've had tons of fraud on this. As a matter of fact, did you see the story about Wells Fargo this week?
Oh, no, I didn't.
It doesn't end.
It just never ends with Wells Fargo.
Never ends.
How do they stay in business? That's the bigger question.
That's exactly what I want to know. So it seems that Wells Fargo found out that something happened. They fired more than 100 employees that were suspected of improperly collecting coronavirus relief funds from the PPP. The firm determined that the staffers defrauded the SBA, the Small Business Administration, by making false representations in applying for coronavirus relief funds for themselves. Well, everybody's suffering out there and looking to get this. They have a job, they're getting paid because they're obviously employed by Wells Fargo, right? Doing the PPP loans and all that. And they put themselves in the front, make a loan to themselves by utilizing false information. We're not talking about one or two. We're talking about 100 employees at least.
It's astonishing. I have to assume this happened at other banks too, but these guys got caught. You know what? I think everybody has an eye on Wells Fargo.
May Jeffrey Toobin be your spokesperson for the future.
Jeffrey Toobin.
Wells Fargo needs to have Jeffrey Toobin as their spokesperson.
Give him some work.
Firearm sales skyrocketing. Smith & Wesson estimated that firearms to new buyers account for about 40% of sales this year. An estimate that they said was
astonishing. And we had Smith & Wesson. Which one did we have
Smith
on our
Smith & Wesson.
Stock
Smith & Wesson, yep.
Yeah, it got bounced just by a whipsaw, but it's probably way up.
It was up like 45% when it got bounced.
When it got bounced, yeah.
So in another one is on September 2nd call, Sportsman's Warehouse Holdings said the company that estimated that 5 million people purchased firearms for the first time across the industry in the first 7 months of the year. So 8 of the top all-time weeks historically for background checks have happened this year, which is data going back to 1998.
This should frighten the Democrats.
So is it related to the pandemic?
It's related to the riots.
So it's related to riots. And it's
because people, I mean, the news media, they show all these riots. They don't really give you a lot of good news. I mean, in terms of just the general news, they show all these riots and, you know, peaceful protests and Antifa and people, you know, looting and knocking people over and busting windows. A poor car guy's trying to drive by and they almost kill him. And it freaks them out. They think this is going on everywhere. The public is very easily, very skittish.
There's also the potential that people think that if Biden wins, Harris is going to work to crack down on gun sales, right?
Well, that element's always in play. Mm. But I don't think that's the main reason for all the massive gun sales, just a fear that Biden's going to get elected.
Do you think that if Trump gets elected or if Biden gets elected, let's kind of take both of those, that there's going to be any major, I'm not talking about little, you know, parades. I'm talking about major civil unrest.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Trump gets elected, there'll be another round of, remember the Women's March and all this stuff. The guy hasn't been in office 10 minutes and they're protesting all over the place, all very coordinated.
The pussy hat parade.
Yeah, the pussy hat stuff.
Come on, that was great. That was hysterical.
I like when the guys were wearing them.
Oh, stupid. Tesla cut its price on its Model S.
I think Tubin should have been wearing one. That would have made it funnier.
Tubin, yeah, we got to get Tubin pecker hats. Tesla is going to be cut the price of its Model S long-range sedan in the United States to $69,420. The electric car maker's chief executive, Elon Musk, announced in a tweet.
Now, which model was this?
The Model S long-range. The bigger battery Model S, the original.
Oh, the one that used to look good until they took out that fake grill?
Yes.
That looks pinched-faced.
A bit. But do you notice the price? Anything about the price?
Read it again.
$69,420.
Well, it's got the marijuana number in there.
Yeah, it's got sex and marijuana. 69.
Yeah, sex and marijuana.
This is his idea.
Yeah, that guy. Well, I mean, all his cars spell sex.
Yeah.
You got the Model S, which is S. You got the Model 3, which is Hacksaw E. It's an E. And you have the Model X. And then they're going to bring out the Model Y. I mean, come on, people.
This is his way of being fun.
Oh, he thinks he's hilarious.
Yep. Bankruptcies, the number of bankruptcies across the United States. Your guess on is it in the world? Is it higher or lower than it was last year?
The number of bankruptcies?
Yeah. Compared to
the world.
In the world, compared to 2019.
It's got to be higher.
Got to be higher. Seems logical. Seems very logical. But now what we see is that the number of zombie companies globally increased in 2019. For the third straight year and was on pace to reach 1 in 5 companies in the U.S. this year. Here's your bankruptcy data. Check this out. Year-over-year change through August 2020 in bankruptcies. See a little chart there? You can find these charts on DH Unplugged, the show notes for episode number 527 at dhunplugged.com. France, 44% less bankruptcies this year than last year. Where's the U.S. on this? Is the U.S. on this? U.S. is 2% more, which is nothing. Canada, 29% less. But why is this? Well, because you have all the stimulus is coming in. The bankruptcy laws have changed, or at least they're keeping people out of bankruptcy by buying the bonds of these businesses. You have all these zombie companies, which are companies that have excessive amount of debt that is higher. The debt service is higher than their income stream. And they're just stopping all these bankruptcies. How crazy is this world?
It's just wild. This is a nice chart people should look at.
That's crazy. Apple 12, you want to talk about that? The Apple iPhone 12? There was somebody else that...
Well, I don't know too much about it. It's just another Apple iPhone. I don't see why people get so worked up about every new phone that comes out.
Was there a big announcement from Adobe somebody was mentioning?
Was there?
I don't know. Somebody said something was about Adobe. There's an announcement or something somewhere in the chat room all the way back.
I think they maybe rolled out a new version of Photoshop, possibly.
Yeah. The race to space. SpaceX on Sunday launched another batch of 60 of its internet beaming Starlink satellites, which is going to grow its constellation. It's 835 Starlink satellites launched so far this year. So they're all up there in this kind of this web, I suppose. And they're going to be doing these low Earth orbit, which is going to provide, with combination with ground transceivers, the ability to, I guess, beam internet everywhere. Don't we have that already? Am I missing something? Maybe it's not in the Sahara Desert. Maybe you can't get it 50 miles out to sea. But
well, I mean, they have that. You get data over the phone systems, the cell phone network.
Yeah.
They every so often somebody tries to do some. I mean, you have that with EchoStar, I think, does an internet, but these aren't low orbit. And there's also there's another one out there. There's a couple of these systems, but they're not. Low orbit is a problem because it doesn't stay up there that long, and they're expensive. I mean, they're not as expensive as a big satellite way up there, but you can't just put these things up there temporarily, and then you have to put another batch up and then another batch up. They cost a lot of money.
And when they come down, what do they do? Did they come down or
well,
they just
I
hang out?
Well, I got told a couple of different things, and people said, well, you know, some of the low Earth ones, I don't think they can do anything but crash into the atmosphere and burn up.
Ah.
Make like a little meteor thing. But the ones that are way out there, they just supposedly, I'm told, they always keep enough rocket fuel left when they positioning fuel so they keep moving them around, that they turn them toward the deep space and they shoot them into outer space.
Yeah, so one day some aliens out there are going to be like, what the hell?
It's all this crap.
It's all this space garbage going on.
I think there's
here.
Plenty of room up there.
Right, yeah. You can rent a theater now if you want to go to the movies. AMC has begun to offer the option.
It says $99, but all the reports, it's always like about $350.
Yeah, you can watch like crappy shows like, you know, Back to the Future for $99.
Yeah, I can watch that at home.
Right. So you can get as many as 20 people in a screening, which you can get classic films like Jurassic Park and Halloween-centric fare like The Nightmare Before Christmas for $99. But if you want to get like Tenant or The New Mutants, which I don't know what the New Mutants are, costing up to $349, but that's not too bad. You're talking about $20 a person.
Well, for $349 to see Tenet, because it's not even been released in this country, as far as I know, unless I'm not keeping up, that might be worth it. I think you can get 20 people. That's what?
$20.
$20 a head, actually less than that, obviously. So let's see, if $20 a head, that's reasonable.
Yeah, and you bring a hair dryer, plug it in, bring a Jiffy Pop. Get your
yeah, or
pump.
Just buy a couple bags of, yeah. You know, Fritos and you're in the business. I'm sure the concessions won't be open.
Yeah. Quick question I don't want to talk about, but I just throw it out there to just kind of a little bit something for people to think about. What happened to the WeChat chat and TikTok ban that was imminent? Just saying. Okay.
I think there's an injunction. I think no one's talking about it.
Yeah. GameStop and Microsoft have entered. This is so weird. GameStop, which looks like it was going out of business. GameStop and Microsoft have entered
into
a perpetual going out of business. Yes. They've entered into a multi-year arrangement that gives the video game retailer, which is GameStop, a cut of every digital purchase made on any Xbox console. In other words, even if you don't purchase it at GameStop, anything that's purchased on an Xbox, GameStop gets a cut of.
Sounds like a blackmail scheme. How did they get this deal?
You know, Microsoft should have just bought GameStop. I don't know why. But isn't everything downloaded now? What do you even need a GameStop for? Do you need discs?
Well, they do sell the consoles. They got a lot of accessories there. If you need, you know, controllers and things, you can go there and buy them. I don't know. I haven't been to one of those stores for a few years, but they seem to have a lot of stuff in them. I think they're more entertaining stores than the Apple store.
But I just don't understand how Microsoft gives them a cut of every single thing.
I don't know how
that
doesn't sound right. Something's wrong with this story.
Yeah. Somebody go check it out for us. A couple of things here to note. Of course, we are open for donations, and with last week's bill, it would be very helpful. We did some major security overhauls on the site. And actually got a brand new security system and backup system and all sorts of stuff.
There goes the profits.
Yep, that's it. Done. But you can help out and reverse that. If you can kindly go over to DH Unplug, click on the donate button. Any amount not only helps, but is encouraged and make you feel good all over because you are part of the show, helping the show. That would be great. Over on DHUnplug.com. We have a new Close to the Pin or Close to the Pin. If for whatever reason you did enter your, if you entered your price guess already, just make sure it's there. Part of the security overhaul was a couple of different things we did. And I'm not sure if anything got lost in it, but I don't think so. But anyway, go over to DH Unplugged, put in your Close to the Pin price guess for ExxonMobil. I need one from you too, John. And then you could be eligible for a great shirt, the DH Unplugged official shirt, and some other things throughout the year when you have the opportunity to be in the Close to the Pin cup. Yep. Question on the chat room. Did the homeless lady come back for her object? Which I did post the picture of this very nice.
Oh, yes. Is the gorgeous it was hip flask.
Yeah, it was like a, it had rhinestones and like a jaguar print on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
would say that's something an old hooker would use. Mm,
could be. There was a sock. There was some paper and a smell in the hallway like old milk for about a week. Kind of
great. Gone.
So all of that has been cleaned up and it's gone. So I don't know if somebody, if she came back and grabbed it and grabbed her sock and the tissue and paper that was there. Or if the cleaning people finally got to it. So, just an update. She's probably listening, by the way.
Seems unlikely.
Here is something that we have to say is, I think, in that, wow, no, that is creative. It seems that Singapore Airlines sold out seats to eat lunch on a grounded jet at the airport.
Yes.
Tickets range from $40 for economy to $475 for a private suite. And demand is so strong for this that the airline is adding dinner service and extra days to what was supposed to be a two-day stunt.
Yeah. You know why?
I don't understand any of this.
The food is pretty good on Singapore Airlines, let me tell you.
What is this about? What is the attraction here? What is it like you feel like
people
you're on a plane?
People can't take it. They can't drop $3,000 to fly to Singapore or whatever. And, but they just want the Singapore airline experience. Cause it has such an unbelievable reputation.
I don't know.
And it's kind of cute. It's kind of quaint. The whole idea,
the whole point of it grounding is because they don't want people sitting next to each other due to the potential spread of coronavirus. Isn't that the point in a place that possibly has a filtration problem, possibly theoretically, but meanwhile, they can sit on the plane at the runway for a few hours next to each other eating. How does that work? If that's the case, stop the grounding.
Well, I thought the grounding had more to do with the fact that nobody wants to travel and you can't, and you get, if you go to any place, you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And there's a million other reasons besides the flying next to somebody.
At least take the plane up and then land it again.
That costs too much.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. New York is in a big hole. New York governments and authorities are projecting $59 billion worth of revenue shortfalls through 2022 because of the continuing coronavirus crisis, one of the deepest funding holes of any state.
Yeah, figures.
How do they recover from this, aside from, obviously, Nancy Pelosi shelling out, you know, a few hundred?
Well, she's trying to steal money from all these funds to give it to the states so they, because they're all run by her people, Democrat states. I think they have to go bankrupt. There's no doubt about it.
It's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before.
I think that.
And I think New York's Koch, done it before.
Yeah, Koch, I think under Koch they went bankrupt.
Under who?
Under Ed Koch, the mayor.
Ed Koch.
I always confuse him with Frank Perdue.
Frank Perdue?
They look the same.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Last thing on Tesla, it canceled a 7-day no questions asked return policy last week.
Well, that may be fine and dandy, except in California, you have to, this policy, I don't even know if it's 7 days, it might be 14, but there's a state law.
It's the lemon law. That says
you can take the car back.
But they had a no question asked. The lemon law is like a whole thing. It's got to be fixed.
No. The California thing is you just don't like the car, you take it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have a return policy statewide.
Huh. Interesting. All right. We got a couple of limericks in. One of them is from a professional, which somebody reposted on Twitter and then asked for permission if it was okay if we used it for the show. It's from the Twitter handle of the Limerick King.
Ah, so this is technically professional.
Yeah. So what we do is we'll read it off. I'll try my best not to butcher it. And in the chat room, a little bit delay there, but you can vote on it or grade it along with John, who has been very difficult for most, but I got an A- last week, and it wasn't because I was host. It was because it was a damn good limerick. All right, here we go. From the Limerick King. The banks are destroying our nations. Their weapons are asset inflations. They set interest low so assets will grow. These prices are pure fabrications. Yes, I butchered it. See? There you go.
I'm not impressed.
Really? Oh. Don't grade my reading. People are saying, no, don't grade my reading.
Well, your reading's always bad, so that's a consistent.
I read really well the rest of the show. Something on the limericks kill me.
That's not a variable, so you don't have to worry about that. Okay. It's always mediocre. The banks are destroying our nations. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know as much. This is supposed to be about the Fed. This is about banks. That's my first problem. I'm going to give it a B. A B.
A B. Okay. The next one's in from John Potts. This one I'm going to have trouble with because you'll hear. Once we had Powell for the Fed chair, when COVID turned our markets a bear, our money got looser, Wall Street the seducer, recession rally away our despair.
Well, it should be a comment, comma after recession. It'd be recession rally away our despair. As if the recession is going to, I think, unless he means a recession rally.
Maybe see markets rally away our despair.
It could have had something like, and also to make it more clear, it would have been something like markets please rally away our despair, which is one word too many. But I don't know. I'm not impressed with this one either.
No?
I like the first line. I'm going to give it a B minus.
A B minus. B minus. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Welp. A couple of things to note is that these descending triangle banks are both up.
Yeah. Summit and what was the other one? FVC.
FVC.
Which is amazing, actually, because banks have not been doing well. They reported last week and a lot of them were down.
Yeah. Well, these two are doing well because of, I think, the chart. Mm-hmm. Also, I should mention I'm very happy.
Yeah.
That my stock pick has now overtaken your stock pick.
Oh, yes, I see that.
The biggest gainer, which is the Baker Brothers. Kodiak Sciences, Inc., is now up to 44%, just picked a couple of weeks ago.
And that's not like a penny stock. That's not like a penny stock. It's not like a $3 stock that went up a lot. It was a $55 stock when you picked it.
Yeah, it's $54 stock. It wasn't a penny stock at all. They don't really pick too many penny stocks, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it took over where Train, which was the leader, all along with 40, and now it's up 43%. So I'm beating you there. And I also have Medtronic, which is another 41% up. So the only other thing that's kind of interesting is the my two all the shorts are up. So that's one interesting note to make. Mm-hmm. IBM is up.
That was today down 6.5% after the earnings, by the way. So that was nice.
And then TransDigm, or whatever it's pronounced, is up. And I've got nothing for this week, but I see you have something picked from last week.
Yeah, Workhorse isn't working. I'm going to pick up an IPO that's a Teladoc. There's a couple of them that recently came out. One's more of a psychology.
We'll explain what this is. What's a Teladoc and what is this company?
So Teladoc basically is where you do the telemedicine, right? Where you have the ability to have a link directly on your computer or mobile phone, whatever it is, to talk to a doctor, to get the diagnosis, to do all that. And it links with your insurance company. They link with the pharmacies, and it's all kind of encapsulated. And they are kind of a middleman for that whole thing. So this has become very popular with the pandemic, where people can't go or don't want to go out and see their doctor. Obviously, it's not for emergencies, obviously. And you know, it's not like you're bleeding out like, can you get that app up and running? That's not how it works. But
I'm bleeding out.
You know?
Why is it called American Well? It sounds like a well drilling company. I was expecting this to be located in Nevada and they go out digging holes.
Yeah, I think it's actually American Wellness. Let's see.
Okay.
AMWL stock. American Well Corp. American Amwell. American Well Corporation. I don't know. American Well Corp. That's what it's called. It's like a wellness thing. And they have an interesting website. You should check it out. Their website, just look up American Well and, you know, go well. Their website, I thought it was really interesting when I looked at it. Anyway, so I thought, you know, in the age of the never-ending pandemic, whether it's a hoax or not, doesn't matter, that, you know, the potential for this, and it's a recent IPO, so it came up pretty nicely. Coming on the IPO level of support that I'd like, although I would rather see it rallying a little bit higher from here, came down about 6% today. Things were selling off throughout the day. And let's take a look. The last I saw, let me look at the futures right now, because we had a situation where, you know, we were butting up against this whole potential for a deal. And they're like, well, it's not going to happen. And everybody poo-pooed it. The same thing that happened yesterday happened today, where the stocks turned lower towards the end of the day. Right now we're seeing that Dow Jones futures up about 100. And the S&P futures up about 13, about a quarter of a, three quarters of a percent. No, excuse me, a half a percent. NASDAQ up. So there's still some hope that the stimulus plan will get done, even though everybody says it's not going to get done. So I don't know. I don't know how to read it.
Well, I know that they're trying to push it off at least far enough so Trump's signature can't appear on a check that lands in your inbox just before the election.
Yeah, so that's I don't know why McConnell says don't do it before the election, because I think he thinks that somehow that's giving in, and it makes.
I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't know, but anyway, so we have that, and it looks like there's going to be the continuation of this bouncing ball situation with this. But anyway, AMWL is the symbol for Amwell, and I think we're going to end it there. And unless you have anything else, oh, no agenda. No. Tuesday, yeah, Thursday,
no, right? No agenda's coming up.
Thursday at 12 in the afternoon. Eastern time. And Sunday, of course, and you get like 2-3 hours chock full of just great information. This week on The Disciplined Investor, we talked about inflation and what to do if inflation comes, what are the investments that you should be looking at, and what to do about it. So kind of gave you three different ideas there, which could be interesting. That's The Disciplined Investor. Grab them all on your favorite pod thing.
Thingamajig.
Yeah, pod thing. All right, I'll see you again next week.
Next week. Bye. Right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.